I want to direct your attention to the last thing Jesus said as he answered this lawyer's question, where he said, he asked the question, which of these three was a good neighbor, was a neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And the lawyer answered, he that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto the lawyer, go and do thou likewise. Go and do thou likewise. Again, the lawyer came, asked a question. What shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said, well, what's written in the law? What do you read? And the lawyer answered Jesus' question with the two greatest commandments. He said, love God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus said, you got it right. Now just go and do it. And the lawyer said, and again, the Bible says, willing to justify himself, well, who is my neighbor? And Jesus answered that question by telling a little story. He said, a certain man went down to Jericho. Now, we don't know anything about this man that went down to Jericho. Jericho was known for its palm trees. It was also a retirement spot. And so maybe this man was moving to Jericho. Maybe he was going to Jericho to look at what was available when he, you know, reached that age when he was going to retire. Maybe he went to scope out where he was going to retire to. Many people that lived in Jerusalem would retire to Jericho. In fact, one of the things that Jericho was known for back in that days was the medical facilities that they had. They had special medicines that kept people well. So here was a man, don't know why, but he was on his way to Jericho. Jesus says he fell among thieves. Now, when we think about thieves, we think about bad guys. In this day, we would think about people with perhaps knives, clubs, different things that they could use to rob people. And Jesus said they beat this man, they wounded him, they stripped him, they took his money, and they left him half dead. And when we read this story, that's the kind of thieves that we usually think about. But tonight, I want to challenge your thinking. I'd like you to expand your thinking. Personally, I have only known two people that were robbed in the same way that this man was robbed. I remember my grandmother was robbed one time. She was on her way to work. She worked at a cleaner's. She was on her way to work, and two teenagers snatched her purse. Didn't do her any bodily harm, but they stole her purse. And then the only other person I know that was physically robbed, like this man was a guy that I worked with. We were at a meeting somewhere. I don't even remember where we were. And he went out to get in his car, and a guy had a knife and took his overcoat, his wallet, and his watch. Again, no physical harm was done to him. But those are the only two people that I've known that have been robbed the same way that this man was robbed. But I got to thinking. I know a lot of other people that were robbed in different ways. And tonight, I want to mention some of those people and get you to think a little bit about them. We honored our widows and widowers today with a little luncheon after the morning service. They've been robbed by the death of their spouse, the death of their partner, the death of their best friend. Many of them now spend most of their time alone by themselves, and so they've been robbed of that companionship that they once knew as a husband or a wife. I know people of all ages, from the very young to the very old, that have been robbed by sickness or disease. They fight that disease every day of their life. Some of them get better, some of them do not. Some of them every day of their life feel the pain of the sickness that they have. They spend a lot of effort. They spend a lot of money fighting for their life, and they've been robbed of their health by that disease. I've known little children that have been robbed of what every child deserves, a father and a mother, and they've been robbed of that by the circumstances that has occurred in the life of their parents. And so they go through life robbed, not having a mom or not having a dad or not having a mom and dad together the way God intended it. I've known teenagers and young adults that have been robbed by the wrong crowd. They've got in with the wrong crowd, and they've been robbed of the future that God had planned for them because in that wrong crowd, they've made poor decisions. I've known young dads and moms that have been robbed by the demands of life. They as they're just getting started, they try to balance time and budget to make ends meet, and they both work, and they struggle to pay all the bills, and they struggle to find time to spend together, and they've been robbed of that of the time together that they deserve. And then I've known people, and I'll go back to what Wynn said, that have been robbed by natural disasters. I mean, no fault of their own, but they've been robbed of their homes. They've been robbed of that place where they live, either tore down or filled with water, filled with mud. And I can go on, and you could tonight, and I won't for sake of time, but I just want you to expand your thinking. When Jesus was talking about this man that went down to Jericho, yes, he was talking about somebody that was physically robbed by thieves that beat him, took what he had, and left him half dead. But I want to tell you tonight, there's a lot of people that are laying on the side of the road, so to speak, hurting in the same way, robbed of different things in their life, that Jesus would say, we need to be a neighbor to them. We need to help. In the story that Jesus told, three men came by. One was a priest, one that led worship, one that pointed people to God, one that offered sacrifice. Doesn't say what kind of priest he was. We read the story and most of us think, well, it must have been a Jewish priest, but it could have been some other kind of priest. Jesus didn't say. But the priest represents all sorts of religious people that misunderstand what religion is all about. The purpose of religion is not to make us feel good about ourselves. It's not something that we take pride in or hide in for ourselves. And it doesn't matter what the title is. It doesn't matter if it's a Baptist or a Lutheran or a Catholic or an Episcopalian or a Muslim. A religion that takes you to the other side of the road when somebody that is laying there hurting is not very much of a religion at all. A religion that says, I'm not going to get involved, is not very much of a religion at all. The priest went over to where the man lay. He looked at him, and then the Bible says he crossed over to the other side of the road. The purpose of a religion ought to be, I'm going to go out and find people that are hurting. I'm going to offer myself to help them, offer my resources to help them, and not be like the priest when he saw that person lying there half dead, walk to the other side of the road. The second person that came by was a Levite. Levite was a tribe in Israel that had special privilege. The nation catered to them. They had the best education. They had the best jobs. They sort of had it made because of the tribe that they belonged to. The Bible said that this man came, looked at the wounded man, and he passed by on the other side of the road. And I would remind you tonight that the position and the privilege that we have, the resources that we have, come from God. And they're not meant to be used just for ourselves. The things that God gave us are not so that we can use them selfishly for ourselves, but to use them to help other people. And I would remind you tonight that all of us are privileged in certain areas. All of us have unique talents. All of us have things that we can offer to people that are in need. And so the Levite came by and he looked. And he passed by on the other side. The third person that came by was a Samaritan. From an ethnic standpoint, he was a half-breed. Samaritans were half Jews and half something else. He was not like the Levite. He did not have a family name to be proud of and have special privileges. From a religious standpoint, he was not like the priest because he was on the wrong side of the tracks, so to speak. He worshiped the wrong God. He worshiped in the wrong temple. He had the wrong Bible. And of the three that passed by, this was the least likely person to be the good neighbor. The Bible says that he came to where the wounded man was. So did the other two. So did the priest. So did the Levite. The Bible says that he looked at the wounded man. So did the priest. So did the Levite. But the Samaritan did something and had something that the other two did not. The Bible says that he had compassion on him. He had compassion on him. He saw a hurting, wounded person. He saw somebody that needed help. And he said this. He said, "This could be me. This could be my spouse. This could be my child. This could be my parent." I mean, it wasn't in this case. But he said, "This could be. What would, if it was me, if it was my spouse, if it was my child, if it was my parent that somebody came by, what would I want them to do? How would I want them to treat the one that I love if they were laying there hurt?" And so the Bible says that he ministered to him. He poured oil in his wounds. He put him on his beast and took him to an inn. And when he got ready to leave the next day, he gave the innkeeper some money and said, "Hey, I want you to take care of him. And if you spend more, I'll pay you when I get back." I think we as Christians, we need to have that same compassion. When we see people that are hurting, and by the way, they're all around us. Again, don't just think of somebody that's been physically robbed and physically beaten and left half dead physically. There are people half dead emotionally. There are people hurting all around us. There are people that need our help all around us. Maybe being a good neighbor would be simply in calling up one of our widows and saying, "Hey, could I take you to lunch today?" Maybe being a good neighbor would be calling somebody that is fighting a disease that doesn't seem to go away and say, "Hey, could I bring you some cookies and visit with you today?" Maybe it would be going to somebody that young couple that's struggling to get by and saying, "Hey, I'd like to keep your kids for you tonight, and I'd like to give you an opportunity to go on a date with your spouse." You see, there's lots of things that we can do to be a good neighbor. Maybe tonight it would be saying, "Hey, I'd like to get involved in disaster relief. I'd like to go to people that are hurting, again, no fault of their own, but have suffered something that happened to the community, and I'd like to go and be a help to them." The world is not looking for a religion that just talks a good game. The world is looking for a religion that cares, that goes out, finds wounded people, hurting people, half-dead people, and says, "Let me help you. Let me give you a hand. Let me take care of this need that you have in your life." When Jesus said to this lawyer, he said, go thou and do likewise. He was talking to each one of us, because we all know wounded, hurting people that need help. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for what we've experienced tonight. Thank you for weaving the service together in a way that only you could. And I pray tonight that you would just speak to our hearts. I pray, Father, you would show us how you want us to be involved in ministering to wounded people, to hurting people, to people that the world has left half dead by the side of the world, by the side of the road. And I pray, Father, that you would just speak to our hearts in a very clear way, and show us how you want us to be involved. Again, as Brother Wynn says, it starts here in our church. It starts here in our community. And then, Father, it may extend to other places. But again, we just give ourselves to you, ask you to speak to us, ask you to show us how we can be a good neighbor, how we can go and do thou likewise. Bless this time of invitation. If there's somebody here that doesn't know Christ as their Savior, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you'd help them to see their sin, Help them to see the penalty of that sin, separation from you forever. Help them to see what Jesus did on Calvary's cross for them. And tonight, if they're not saved, they need to make that decision to come to Jesus Christ. So bless this time of invitation. Use it as you see fit, for it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.